Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is your official Leguizamarama spoiler warning. If you have not yet seen Waco the Aftermath, then we will be spoiling episode one of that miniseries. Otherwise, enjoy the podcast.
Peace. I hate the word.
Okay.
What?
That, no, but stern.
Well, that was a legit. Over the last few months, our spoiler warnings. This is still in spoiler warning, I'm guessing.
Yeah, of course.
Over the last few months, our spoiler warnings have gotten a bit silly, but that's usually because we're doing a spoiler warning for something that really doesn't need it.
And I get it.
As I was doing this spoiler warning halfway through, I was like, oh, it came out April of last year. It's not directly about Waco, so there are probably layers of this that people wouldn't know because you know the big picture. And I just, all of this ran through my head and I thought, well, no, you know what? Legit spoiler warning is valid.
No, I love that.
And that's why
I feel like you set a tone. Funny. I feel like you set a tone. And I feel like maybe one or two people will poke their noses into this podcast because they want to have a chat, hear a chat about Waco the Aftermath. Mm. Probably, and in the first 10 seconds, it'd be like, wow, I'm sticking around for this. And then probably after about 2 minutes, would have been like, what the fuck is wrong with these two people? And then tuned
That's
out.
That's right, because after the opening music, Mission Zach will spend 20 minutes talking about Japan.
Yay! hello, everyone. Konnichiwa. It's Mission Zach's Leguizamarama.
Konbanwa, Mish.
Konbanwa, my friends. It is Mish and Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast where each week myself and my friend get together and chat about John Leguizamo and everything he has ever been in. Film, television, we're talking music videos, ads, everything. We love him. My name is Mishua Trump. You might know me from recently an epic 13-day trip to Japan. I'm joined, as always, by my fabulous little friend, Zachary Wayne, who you might know from.
Also recently having a 2-week trip to Japan, completely unrelated to Mish's.
Unrelated. And in fact, we found out about each other's trips about August of 2023. And one of us said, oh, my God, I just booked tickets to Japan. Mm. And then the other was like, I've also booked tickets to Japan. And I'm not going to lie. I was like, oh, my God, I hope he's going after me. Because otherwise it looks like...
You're like a little copycat.
Little copycat bitch. Mm. And I'm not a copycat bitch.
No, people know that people book flights.
You went 1 month before I did.
Yeah. 1 month is like such a short distance that people wouldn't have thought you ripped me off.
Yeah, that's true.
If it was like 6 months later, I'd be like, all right, bitch.
Yeah. I hope you didn't think that I was actually suggesting I'd be mad at you. If you were, sumimasen, Zachary Ruane.
And may I just say arigato gozaimasu for that wonderful introduction.
Oh, I do apologize. I would love to talk about Japan. Are we allowed to do that?
Why wouldn't we? I just presume, you know, people know what they're signing up for. We will get to Waco.
If I know that, like, okay, so we sometimes, like, the link here can be like pop culture or whatever.
We always try to spend 20 minutes. This is more on topic.
That's true. Once we talked about if we had a mansion, what would we dedicate an entire room in that mansion to?
What did we land on?
I said I would have someone to, no, you said you'd have someone to make you clothes.
No, that was yours.
Was that mine?
That was yours. Because I was like, If you're rich enough, you can just go to their
no,
shop.
No, but having someone at your house do that was great. Yours was a cinema or something.
Yeah, probably.
Popcorn and candies and stuff.
And then I've also talked about hidden rooms. Anyway, we can talk about Japan.
Okay. I went to I love Japan. I just thought it was the most incredible place. I'd love to talk to you about my night, my metalcore night in Tokyo.
That sounds fun.
Oh, my God. So my partner and I have nothing in common, right?
Yeah.
Nothing at all.
As is the way.
As is the way. And he loves metal and hardcore music, right? And there's this brand called Metalcore, which is a combination of the two things.
Mm.
And I just don't, it just doesn't tickle me. I sometimes have a listen and I'm like my partner's music. And I'm like, okay, I just can't see a moment in my life where I've ever require this.
Do you know, I'll say that.
Also, I'm so sorry. We're having a fizzy and I'm burping like
crazy.
Yeah,
I'm burping too. We got the aircon on. It's 30 something degrees outside and we have chosen comfort over quality.
And also, Zach and I have caught up since I've gotten back from Japan, but we haven't actually spoken about Japan. So this is really just an excuse for the two of us to have a chat
about
Japan over a couple of lemon fizzies.
Purposefully avoided it because I was like, this is great pod tent. Pod tent, we call it. I just talking about metal music, I was the same as you for the first 25 years of my life, and then still not metal. I got into Nine Inch Nails in my mid-20s. And then maybe in the last 5-6 years, I've started to listen to like Slayer and stuff. But very rarely, very occasionally, like I'm not a metal guy at all. Like Slayer is so top of the pile.
Mm.
But I have now times, occasionally, mostly when I'm at the gym, where metal fits the bracket.
Mm.
But I was once like you.
Well, yeah, I've never really, I was like, whatever.
I get it. Yeah,
My partner a few months ago comes down from his office during one of his work days. He's working obviously from home. I am watching X on the Beach, crying in my pajama pants because bitch ain't working, right? Mm. He comes downstairs. He's like, okay, there's something I want to do one night. You do not have to come, but it's just one night in Tokyo.
Oh.
That I'm going to go and do. And you, like, I hope you're cool with it. It just means it's a night that you're doing your own thing. I'm like, yeah, what is it? And he's like, one of my favorite bands is playing in Tokyo while we're there.
Right.
It's called Era, E-R-R-A. I believe they're Canadian. I believe.
Were they like, we're all about the hardcore.
My dad's a Mountie.
I'm about metal. I'm about hardcore.
Ice hockey.
I'm about hitting it hard with the rock, with the hardcore music.
That's actually very, very good.
Oh, thank you, Mish. I love to, when I pick up my guitar, I want to rock hard, metalcore hard. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No,
that's what I'm
that.
All about.
That's very good.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's what they sounded like. Anyway, and I was like, oh, I want to go to that. And he's like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, okay, like I'll buy us some tickets. So he goes and buys us these tickets. Anyway, our first night in Tokyo, we're going to a metalcore gig. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Now, I've never been to a hardcore or metal gig before in my life.
Uh-huh.
But your girl has been to a gig or two, some of them a bit thrashy. And I've frequented a mosh in my early 20s. But I'm like, I'm fucking in my mid-30s now.
Mm.
I don't think I'm mosh ready. I'm not up for it.
Mm.
But my partner, despite the fact that he's fucking 39, he's like, I'm getting in there. This is my favorite band. Mm. I'm like, cool, babe. You go to the front. I'm going to go to the back. So we go down to this venue, right, in Tokyo. It's called Unit, I believe. You go down like 8 flights of stairs. And so instantly while you're going down the stairs, you're like, I have to walk up these things.
Yeah.
Like, as I'm walking downstairs, I'm like, fuck off. It's in like a basement.
Yeah.
Like the basement's basement, right? This old underground, it's nice and cool in there because it's like well underground bar with it's a small venue, but like I think it fit like 400 people or something like that. And we cram ourselves in there, right? I'm like, okay, cool, like this is fine. And then the first act finishes and a whole bunch of people go to the bar and Matt's like, I'm going to make my way to the front. And I'm like, I'll come and talk to you because it's a while until the band goes on. So this story is taking a little while.
Yeah.
I get to the front and I notice that everyone's standing around. It's shoulder to shoulder, But everyone is just standing very politely,
yeah, man.
Very still. That's They're great. All wearing all black, thick eyeliner. They all have long hair. They're ready. But they're all just really chill on their phones, kind of whispering to it. It's quiet. It has a kind of buzz of like waiting for a train in peak hour. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like that kind of buzz of noise, but not really first thing in the morning. I'm like, okay. I'm like, and I just said to Matt, I'm like, I can be here. This is fine. Like, this is fine. I'll just stay here with you in the middle front, whatever. And he's like, yeah, I think that, like, you'll be fine. I'm a mountain, by the way. I'm a big girl, so I can hold my ground. But I'm like, no, this isn't going to be, this is so chill. And then the band comes on, mm-hmm. and it was like within half a second, everyone in the room had pushed forward and were thrashing.
Wow.
And this music was so full on. It was great to be there. The production value was insane, but it was fucking full on. Yeah. And I was like, Jesus Christ. Matt, my partner, got an elbow in the mouth, like kind of got a slight concussion, was just like, Jesus. It was full on. And this song went for 3.5 minutes, as most songs do, and we're being thrashed about. I'm like, this is fun. I'm getting out of here as soon as I can. But what an experience to be here at a Japanese metalcore gig, yeah. right? And then the song, like, climaxed, erupted, people throwing themselves, sweat everywhere, screaming, jumping up and down. And then the song ends, and everyone there just stopped, stood still, like caught their breath, went, and then just politely clapped.
Fuck, I love Japan.
Politely clapped like this, and then stopped, and they all just stood and waited patiently for the next song.
And then that, but they and did at that the point, moshing and the metal stuff during the song.
Yes, and then that what that meant was there were all these people like myself that got out of there. And everyone just moved aside for you. There was no. Whereas in Australia,
yeah,
it's like, you're fucked now, cunt. I remember I got caught in one for the Wombats. That's at Groove in the Moo. There were so many people at Groove in the Moo. I was watching Gotcha, and Gotcha finished and the Wombats started. And everyone, I got stuck. And again, big bitch. I remember being so stuck in this mosh that I could take my feet off the ground and I was being carried.
Yeah.
It was, that was fucking full. And it's like, you are fucked now. You were here for an hour. You're fucked. Like 100% that was the vibe. Whereas here it was like, okay, I'll step aside for you. Lots of bowing and nodding at each other.
Amazing.
And then the second song started and everyone did it again. And yes, Matt, my partner, stayed in there. But I just stood at the back with a lot of other people, probably about 20 of us, whose partners were really into it, just like smiling at each other.
Amazing.
Yeah, that was my Japanese metalcore experience.
I went to my sort of cultural experience to that effect when I went to Japan. I went to the wrestling. I went to the pro wrestling. So a lot of people, everyone I say this to, they always go, oh, like sumo wrestling. I'm like, no. Sumo wrestling is a cultural thing. No, in Japan, pro wrestling, like WWE style, although this thing is called New Japan Pro Wrestling is the name of the group of the, like, shows how much I know wrestling. Anyway, I went to their big Tokyo Dome event and it was equally amazing, equally interesting because, like, people got more drunk as the night went on and it went for, like, 3.5 hours. They had, like, lots of different things. People got really drunk as the night went on. They got rowdier vocally. They got more and more, like...
Yeah.
Sounded more and more like a wrestling crowd.
So,
thank you. My allergies are playing up. So, it got more and more like a wrestling crowd. But they never stood. They never stood up. Never once. And
so
no one got up and got a drink during the match. So, if you were watching a match, and like in normal wrestling, you just go get a drink whenever. But in this, you'd watch the whole 10, 15-minute match. No one got up. And then you'd get up and go get a drink in between, and it was phenomenal.
Isn't also, that incredible?
Also, there was a guy named Evil.
Oh my god, I love that. That's so
and he
good.
Was called Evil, and his thing was that he was the Prince of Darkness. And I think he was. I wasn't meant to go for him.
Oh, okay, because he was evil.
Because he was called Evil.
I love that so much.
It's so good. They're so cool. They line up.
Well, it's like, it's one of the things, like, now going out, like, out, like, if someone's to be like, let's go to a gig, like, a part of me, like, yeah, all right, sure, it'd be for the fun. But then, like, a little part of me, one of the reasons I wouldn't want to go is just because of the cunts that are at these things. It's like, I just don't want to deal with the cunts.
I had a friend.
And it's like, I went to this gig, I'm like, okay, so we go to a metal gig, and the only people there that were cunts were these two Aussie blokes that had also happened to be there who were trying to kind of, like, just ran while everyone was waiting patiently for the song. They were like, get fucking ripped or something like that. And everyone just kind of stood embarrassed for them. Do you know what I mean? And it was just like.
I had a real like, I was there during New Year's and there was a lot of drunk Aussies. And I was like, stop it. Stop it. You know the whole thing that like you can get beer at 7-Elevens there?
Yes.
It's like, you're going to ruin it for all of us. No, well, that was the other thing I was going to say was I it's so funny. They're just so polite. What were you saying? You were saying gigs. Oh, yeah. I had a friend who, a mutual friend who's been on this podcast. Anyway, they were going to a gig and they were checking the bomb website. It was Sam Lingard.
I was like, yep.
He was checking the bomb website and like looking at the clouds to see if the clouds were coming, if it was going to rain at this gig. And I said to him, maybe this is a little rude, I was like, you can either check the bomb website or you can go to gigs. You can't do, I'm not saying, I'm not putting, there's no ageism here. You can go to gigs your whole life if you want. But once you start looking at the bomb website,
that's when you should stop going to gigs.
It's the Bureau of Meteorology for any overseas people. That's when you go, well, you just, or if you want to start going to gigs again, you got to give up your bomb rights.
That's so funny. That's so funny.
It's like, you can't do both. You can't look at the bomb website before you go to a gig.
I love that so much. Anyway, I don't see myself going to a gig for a while. I don't see myself going to a metalcore gig again, but I'm so glad I did
that
while I was
in Japan.
You ever
been to the wrestling, Mish?
Yes. I saw you host it once.
Oh, yeah, but
that was my only experience at the wrestling, but I was spoiled because I was in the VIP area.
Yeah.
And we got some free stuff.
Wrestling's great.
I went to that purely because I was like, that night I'd just gone through a breakup.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to go to the wrestling. And one of you, either you or one of the guys was like, no, come to this. This will make you feel, it was probably you or Sam. It'll make you feel better. And so I went along to the wrestling and I had the best time.
People look at me as a, just look at me and they assume, and then I mentioned that I went to the wrestling and they assume I grew up liking the wrestling. They just look at me and they go, that's a guy who likes wrestling. But I really have only gotten into it in the last 4 or 5 years.
It's fun.
But it is so good. Yeah,
it's performance.
And I'm telling you, Japanese wrestling is a whole nother level because I feel like, one, they don't get up, which is funny. And that the food is really nice.
Oh my God.
And also, there's this layer, like wrestling, because you've got the heel and you've got the, like, because you've got this, like, essentially the good guy, bad guy dynamic. And the whole thing is they step out and they have to immediately win over or put off a crowd. There's something about pro wrestling that gets to the core of like a place's culture because like the good guys in the wrestling, they're like really humble in Japan. You know, like, you know, like in American wrestling, it's like Stone Cold Steve Austin or it's this idea of like, I'm just a regular US guy. Like, I'm like, I drive my pickup truck. I look after my girls, you know. Whereas in Japan, the equivalent of that is like, thank you so much. Like there's humbleness and there's like, I'm very appreciative of you, you know, being so kind to me. And now I'm going to fucking jump up off this fucking thing. And the name of the teams, the guy I was going for was in a team called, it was in Spanish, not in Japanese, but it's the Spanish translation of the Ungovernables of Japan. And he was like this, like he had like really cool hair. And then he was up against the head of the guy who in his team was called Just Five Guys. And I think they're just five guys, you know?
That's so good.
And then, Evil's team was Evil.
That's so fun. My favorite thing ever. I loved the wrestling. I've only ever been one time and I really should go again. But when you guys hosted, It was just like, it's so performative. And that point in the show where the hosts take over and they start fighting was just some of the best work you've ever done. I'm sorry if you missed that. I know their Netflix show was good. Their ABC show was good. They've done some phenomenal stuff. But the best thing they've ever done was host the wrestling.
It was a lot of fun, but I would never do it again because I was too much of a pussy. And I'm too afraid of hurting my neck.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do anything of note. I think I just like climbed off. I have so much admiration for the athleticism of those people.
Oh, that's incredible.
If you're ever in Japan again, I recommend you go to the pro
wrestling.
I wish
I'd gone to that.
Well,
loved it so much. I was literally just saying before to a mutual friend that, well, like my partner and I are like, okay, well, let's start figuring out where we want to go next time, whether it's in a year or 2 years.
You're going to become one of these people?
I think I want to go back to Japan.
Legit, I think, and I've always judged those people. Yeah. I've always been like, come on. But I...
Yeah.
Like I think.
Well, there's so much more to see. I saw Osaka and I saw Tokyo and we went to Kyoto for a day like a fucking idiot. Like you go to Kyoto for a day. Like I want to go back and do Kyoto. But Osaka, mate, you have to go.
Yeah, but here's the thing, right? So I was going to.
Excuse me, I'm just going to drink some of my fizzy.
I was going to go to Kyoto and then I ended up changing plans and I just stayed in Tokyo the whole time. And this is my problem, right, is I just want to go to Tokyo. I just want to like, I do want to see it and I want to travel, but I also just love the idea of just like, it's such a cool city and the food is good and I just want to like go there and ride.
I didn't eat one bad thing. I didn't eat one bad thing. Like their food is so good.
Yeah.
And clean.
All that is true though. The one thing I will say is I've also been to Hong Kong and I loved the food in Hong Kong. The food in Hong Kong was just like...
Well, I've been to Sicily and the food in Sicily was pretty fucking phenomenal too.
Yeah, that's all pretty good. I've been to England and the food there is pretty mediocre.
Yeah, I would say medium level food.
Medium.
I spent 2 weeks in London. I don't remember a thing I ate. So that in itself says something.
What I'll tell you, Mish, is that London has easily the best food in the UK.
Oh, okay.
I vomited twice on tour.
I did the Isle. We went up the Isle of Skye in Scotland.
Oh.
This is my friend and I. And one of the most fascinating places I've ever seen in my life.
Mm.
Beautiful.
Mm.
It's gorgeous.
Yep.
We were the only people for miles.
Yep.
It was so beautiful. The food was foul. The food was foul. It is food that keeps you alive.
How can they be connected? They are literally connected by road to London, to the ports of London and the ports of Liverpool, yet somehow they can't get salt up there.
Yeah. Honestly, the food in the Isle of Skye, again, stunning. If we have any listeners from the Isle of Skye. One of the most beautiful places I would go there in a heartbeat. If I ever go missing, there's a chance I'm living in the Isle of Skye. Mm. But the food is purely food to keep a person alive in winter, and it's winter there 10 months of the year. It is boiled beef and potatoes.
I crossed the border. I went from Edinburgh 1 year. I drove up, and then I crossed the border. And I swear to God, and England's food is not much better, but... I remember the taste of salt.
Mm.
I remember being in England, literally just like a few kilometers over the border, but just being like, oh, salt.
Mm.
That salt, I've said this before, but salt is optional at Scottish fish and chip shops. Optional. They say, would you like salt on that? Presumably because some people say no.
Which is mental.
I would just want potato and fat. And not even a little bit of salt.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, man.
Yeah, that's full on.
Sad.
I reckon.
I love England. I love Scotland.
Oh, I love England.
I love Scotland. And I know England and Scotland are different places.
Yeah.
Anyone listening think I'm conflating all of that? I'm not. England, Scotland, different places. Mm. I love Scotland. Love England. Scotland feels like home. I have Scottish heritage.
Mm.
Just one generation off. My granddad was Scottish. But fuck, you need to put salt on shit, guys.
When we get back from the break.
Oh, I've got one.
Oh, yeah?
You got
one?
No,
you go.
When we get back from the break, we're going to mention a Japanese movie we've watched recently and liked. Or ever watched. Any Japanese movie we have ever watched.
Okay.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right. Hi, welcome back from the ad break. We hope you enjoyed that ad break. Maybe for sports gambling or for politics, all things that we're happy to advertise.
Yeah.
Just a joke, if you did hear that, that was because we, that was a mistake, and let us know. I watched Battle Royale.
Do you like it?
Loved it.
Is that a Japanese film? Oh, yeah, it is too.
Yeah. I had never seen it, which is wild because I would have fucking...
Oh, my God. I want to see this.
I would have fucking died for that film if I'd watched it at 15. I have wanted to watch it since I was 15. It's unfathomable that I haven't watched it till now because I would have... fucking died. Mish, you would love it.
Yeah, I have to watch this. So, this is right up my street.
It's so good. It's like, it's inspired so many things. So many things that have come after it.
What year was it? 2000.
Yeah, so many things that have come after it have, like, it's like Hunger Games is a full rip. But it's the most pure version of the story. It is literally 2.5 hours of kids on an island killing each other, and it is spectacular.
That is right up my street.
It is spectacular.
I will throw a Studio Ghibli in there and say Spirited Away is one of my favourite movies of all time.
Good.
But in terms of the ones that affected me the most, Audition.
I haven't seen it yet, so no spoilers.
Loved it, but I stopped halfway because I was getting distracted from other things and it was so interesting that I was like, I have to come back to this, and I never did.
Oh, wow.
Because it really was quite disturbing.
Let's watch Audition.
Yeah.
Between now and like a future podcast.
Yeah, sure.
It's on Broly.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, let's watch it and we can catch up. We can talk about it next podcast.
I'm an idiot. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, no, that. Broly's new. So when did you watch it?
No, I bought it.
Like when did you buy it? Oh, you had the DVD.
No, like on YouTube or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you can watch that version as well.
Why no, but now it's gone. I rented it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure, man. That's how I did.
Would you like to hear my intro?
Yeah.
I wrote it down on my phone.
All right, let's do it. Let's talk Waco the Aftermath.
Waco.
I've been looking forward to this.
You've been like Jones and
Well, ever
for so
since
long.
I saw that it was coming out, I was like, oh, I'm excited for this.
I think I did a really good blurb, by the way.
I hope so. Your last few have been questionable.
Yeah, but you know, I've been going through some tough times in my personal life.
Yeah, that's fair. That's why it's forgivable.
All right, here we go. Pop quiz. How fun is that?
That's fun, Zach. Right.
Pop quiz. If you were tasked with making a follow-up to the 2018 miniseries Waco, which dramatized the horribly mishandled 1993 siege between various government agencies and a cult in Waco, Texas, that ended in the death of 73 cult members, what story would you pick for the new series? Would you A, tell the ongoing story of the chief negotiator, Zod from Man of Steel, as he negotiates with neo-Nazis? B, dramatise one of the court cases that followed the incident in which the events were pinned on four or five seemingly random members of the cult? C, do a prequel series in which the cult leader, played by a guy who looks like a younger Taylor Kitsch, joins the cult and rises to the top? Or D, all of the above? If you chose D, then you could well be one of the creators of 2013's Waco the Aftermath.
2023.
23.
Yeah, it's only last year, mate. That's such a good blurb. Are you done?
No.
Go, keep going.
I'm going to go back. If you chose D, then you could well be one of the creators of 2023's Waco the Aftermath, which we watched episode one of this week. Johnny Legs plays the same part he played last season, who Zod bumps into at the cop shop, so they get a beer and reminisce about the events of season one before Legs puts Zod in touch with someone relevant to the plot of this season. Also, he is credited as like, and featuring a very special guest appearance from, or some shit like
that. Yeah, it was
so that was pretty cool.
I was waiting for when they were going to say he was on. Like, I thought he was going to be an and John Leguizamo.
You know when you see the and then it's not John Leguizamo, you're like, what are they going to do?
So they did a with, they did an and then they did a featuring very special guest star.
It's like featuring very special guest star.
And it's like, okay, which makes me also think he might not be in future episodes.
Makes me very worried he's not in future episodes. Also makes me go like, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Like that is such a weird credit.
This is the most, it is such a weird credit. It is such a weird credit because he was in the last, he was in the original Waco. He wasn't in the siege.
He wasn't a part of the Branch Davidians. He wasn't Davidians. A part of
1993. He wasn't in the Branch Davidians.
He was doing Mario Brothers. He was looking at looking his Twinkie best and doing Mario Brothers.
When I say John Leguizamo was in Waco, I mean the series made a few years ago about
Waco.
Not in 1993. He was in the compound of cults.
Do not take us that we are in no way casting any aspersions that John Leguizamo was responsible on any level for the 1993 Waco siege.
On any level. I don't believe him to be in the FBI. I don't believe him to be a detective. And I don't believe him to be in the Branch Davidians.
And also, he was in a miniseries about Waco. Why would you include...
Why would you put yourself in that position?
That's going to open yourself up to questions. I have it on good authority. He was in England filming Mario Brothers for the bulk of that year.
Yeah.
There's no way he could have also been...
No.
That's crazy.
He would have, at that stage in his career, had access to a gym, considering what he looked like as well. And we know what he looked like because of Mario Brothers. And I don't believe there to be heavy access to gym within the compound that the Branch Davidians lived. So that makes me go, okay, well, if he was involved in Waco, he would probably be in the FBI. Mm. I'm almost certain he wasn't. I've been studying his career now for like 3 years.
He would have done a one-man show about it.
Absolutely. He has not mentioned it once. And considering how busy he was in this like baby legs to sexy Luigi stage of his career, I'm almost willing to bet that he wasn't in the FBI that confronted the Branch Davidians and ultimately were responsible for...
You keep talking about the FBI. Are you saying that maybe he was a member of the tobacco firearms
unit? No, I don't believe him to be part of the tobacco firearms unit either.
No, okay.
In fact, and if he was, he's changed his tune because he's done a lot of anti-gun stuff on his Instagram.
Yeah, he's done a huge amount of anti-gun stuff on his Instagram.
Yeah.
I also just think that's wild. Like, those are full-time careers. You know, the people in that cult, the siege lasted for 51 days. How would he have found the time to do that and also promote
Super Mario Brothers?
To me, it doesn't check out.
No, I don't think so.
But... you got to ask the questions.
Exactly. I think it's odd that he got that and special guest star, considering he was in the original series that was made a few years ago.
Do you want to know my theory?
Yes.
My theory is he was busy or his calendar hadn't lined up for something else he was doing that was more important to him. I don't know what it was, right? Mm. So it took him a long time to say yes to this. I think he says yes to everything.
Same.
But it was just because the other thing, the calendar was blurry, right?
Mm.
And I think they couldn't offer him huge amounts of money because he's only in like one scene maybe and they blew all their money on J. Cameron Smith, who plays the cult leader in the flashbacks. I don't think they could offer him like heaps more than his usual rate.
Mm-hmm.
But he kept putting it off, not because he was thinking no, but because he had something else on. Mm. And because he kept putting it off but not saying no, they kept being like, fuck, he's playing hard to get. What can we do? What can we do? And one of the offers was this crazy credit. And they offered it to him and then the calendar lined up and then he said yes.
It is a bizarre credit considering who he's in this with, which is why I think...
What's your theory on the credit?
He's only in it for one episode. That's the scene. You got that in that episode and we won't see him again.
But what a whack credit, even for one scene.
Yeah, but I think he was probably a get to get that. And it was just like, and I think his role in the original probably was like, John Leguizamo smashed that. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And so it's like, well, let's bring him back again. But he's only in it for this one little special bit. But that we wrote in for him, maybe.
Yeah, but he's credited for every episode on the IMDb.
I just think it's bizarre. I think it's bizarre because of the cast. Because this... You have three character actors who are all in their dad stage now that we've seen go through baby stage, sexy stage, now dad stage.
To be honest, I think this is the first time I've seen or noticed
Giovanni Ribisi's age.
So Giovanni Ribisi is in it as the court person.
The lawyer.
And I the lawyer representing the Branch Davidians, right? And
Oh my God.
It's crazy to me because I think he's been babyface for so long.
100%. And now I think about it, it's like he's never aged.
He's just
I've seen him do 3 decades of
Of like late 20s. And I think he's been in his late 20s, early 30s for 3 decades.
I reckon the last thing I saw him in was Meadowland. Shout out to a John Leguizamo film. Thank you. I believe that was a 2013 or 2017 film somewhere in that area. And he was played the same kind of shit I saw him playing 20 years ago.
But now he's like...
Dad.
Dad Ivani Ribisi.
Yeah. Ridaddy.
Ridaddy.
Giovanni Ridaddy.
Giovanni Ridaddy. Giovanni... Giadaddy Ribisi.
I like Giovanni Ridaddy.
Giovanni Ridaddy.
Yeah. But he is, like you just said, it's the first time I saw that he was old. Michael Shannon, on the other hand, has just been old.
He's been that.
He's been that forever. But you've got these three actors. Like, why does John get the special, which is why I think we're going to see Michael Shannon in every ep. We're going to see Giovanni Ribisi in every ep.
I don't think those kinds of credits are less about how much they're in it. They're more about their career, and it's a bargaining chip in with agents, right? So Michael Shannon is... top build, yeah?
Yes.
And then Giovanni Ribisi, well, he hasn't done much. And also he seems to be in it a lot, so he's getting that sec. But Giovanni Ribisi maybe hasn't hit the end part of his career
yet. I know 100%, I've said this before, but we could have very easily done this pod on Giovanni Ribisi. I think he's probably been in about the same amount of stuff as John Leguizamo. No one knows who he is until they see his face.
But I don't know if he's done as much in the last 10 years.
Yeah, true facts.
Now, that might just be because I'm watching a John Leguizamo film per week, but I don't think he's done as much. I don't think he's... And I don't think he's quite at the end phase
yet. Do you think Giovanni Ribisi does or could own a townhouse in New York?
Yeah, I think he'd make good money.
Oh, you think he's there?
I don't think he's as rich as... As,
well, no, because John Leguizamo has Ice Age money.
John Leguizamo has Ice Age money. John Leguizamo has one-man show money.
Yeah.
He would make good money from his one-man shows. Yeah. But I think Giovanni Ribisi is fine.
He's fine.
I think he's not rich. I don't think... Actually, I take that back. I think if he bought at the right time in his career, I think early 2000s, if he got himself a townhouse... When the price was cheaper, I think Giovanni Ribisi could have a townhouse if he was smart.
I mean, Giovanni Ribisi was in Avatar.
He was in Avatar.
The Gift. Do you remember him in The Gift?
No.
Oh, my God. Have you seen The Gift?
I don't think I have.
That Cate Blanchett film?
No, that's...
Oh, Katie Holmes. Oh.
Director is fun director. It's... Sam Raimi directed it.
Yeah.
No, I really want to watch it.
It's very good.
Yeah, Ribisi was in so much.
You've seen Something Bad? That's from that movie.
Well, I wouldn't know. Giovanni Ribisi was in so much in the late 90s, early
2000s. Oh, so much.
I think if he bought a townhouse, then he has a townhouse. But it's crazy to see him at this age now.
Okay. He has, based on IMDb, he has been in 100 things. Exactly. 100.
Yeah, that makes sense.
With 5 upcoming.
Jesus. All right. He's chunk. So, right.
But a lot of them in scanning independent films.
See, I think Johnny Legs... is more at the end phase of his career than Giovanni Ribisi is. But if Johnny Legs did a movie with Samuel L. Jackson, if he did a movie with Jeff Goldblum, they're fighting for the end.
100%.
And you might even be hitting the ends and the widths.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think Johnny Legs and Jeff Goldblum, Johnny Legs is getting the end. Goldblum's getting the width.
Okay.
But I don't know what width, what value width has.
At this point still, the switch came at the menu, which was only very recent.
Yeah, he's new
so
to
Giovanni
Annie.
Is really only a couple. And based on me just quickly scanning through his IMDb right now, such a similar vibe to John Leguizamo. They're playing very different roles. You're not casting them as the... Oh!
No. Well, now Giovanni Ribisi has hit his dad age. Mm. So now they're up against each other.
Yeah, but I mean, Giovanni Ribisi has done some big films. I mean, he was in Saving Private Ryan. I think I've said before, like, that scene of him... I don't want to spoiler alert, but the scene of him in Saving Private Ryan, I cry every time. Makes me feel sick. It's like... embedded on my brain. He was in Friends. He did 10 episodes of Friends.
He was in a lot, yeah.
My Name is Earl. He can own a house.
Yeah, 100%. This is what I'm saying. 100%,
yeah.
This is what I'm saying. Particularly then.
Yeah.
That's when he bought the house. I don't know.
Do you think he's got it? So he owns it outright? He bought it in the late 90s, early noughties, mid-noughties.
Yeah. He bought it up
and
to
he
Friends.
Now
he bought
owns
it up
it.
To Friends.
Yeah, he owns it and now he just does it up every film.
Yeah.
Buys some new art.
Yeah. Yeah, he owns it outright now. But that all depends because he might have given all his money to Scientology.
Oh, no.
So they might have all his money.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
They might have taken it all. But that being said, he might be like really high up, like Thetan level. So,
yeah, you know, he could be like.
It's all about what you value.
Yeah, he could be Thetan.
Well, he could be, yeah, he could be like.
Thetan sounds like someone saying Satan with a lisp.
Thetan.
You don't want to do that or you'll end up in hell with Thetan.
So here's what I think happened, Mish. Here's what I think happened, right? I think you've got a lot of ands. This is a whole production of ands. You want to keep going on the Thetan
yeah,
thing.
Can you just say for me that with a lisp, Thetan, you're going to end up in hell with Satan?
Thetan, you're going to end up in hell with Satan.
No, with a lisp.
Oh, Thetan, you're going to end up in hell with Thetan. That's good. I said Thetan, not Thetan.
Sorry.
No, I was just going to say this is when you have an entire series of ands.
Mm. What do? I guess you have to do the and special guest. Crazy boy, happy to have him here. We're so lucky, John Leguizamo.
Yeah, like it's like, what do you give Johnny Legs? But yeah. I mean, he's the most and of them all, I think. Although, J. Cameron Smith, after Succession, she's risen to the ranks of the ands.
Yeah.
Do you know when I did my kids show, my agent was like, hey, just so you know, because the kids are technically the stars, I can't really get you any kind of like
credit
order in the credit. And I was like, all right.
That's so funny to me.
It was, I was like, I don't think I'm like Lisa McCune's getting the end, if anyone.
100%.
It was a real like moment of like, I didn't know that was a thing I could.
Yeah. That was like, I remember the first time I ever went on set, like a proper set, and I was asked what I'd like to have in my room.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, nothing. I'm fine. Like, honestly, I'm fine. They're like, no, tell us. Like, what would you like? I was like, no, nothing. Like, I'm fine. But then there wasn't anything that was fine. I was like, I'm a bit bored. And then I went into my friend's room and they had like stuff. And she's like, oh, this is just what I asked to have. And I was like, oh my God, that you asked. It's like, that's why they have them. Like, it's fine to be like, I would like water. It's fine to say some fruit. I was just like, that was really cool for me.
It's very funny. Yeah. It's very, very funny. Yeah.
Did you enjoy it? We're one episode in. We should probably talk about it. Did you enjoy it? Because we were both looking forward to this.
So my ABC bit about the description sounds like it's a criticism, but it isn't. I think it's great. For what it is, I'm enjoying it. I don't think it's going to come to any kind of my, when you watch a thing like this, learnt this lesson from The Power, learnt this lesson from other TV we've watched, all these like different separate plots, particularly, you know, I feel like they're going to come together, right?
Yeah.
There's this part of me in my gut that feels like they're going to come together. And I have to remind myself, no, this is based on a true story.
Mm-hmm.
This is based on a true story and there's this like temptation to stay with certain characters like based on convention.
Yes.
I don't think these stories are going to merge in a way that's satisfying and I've just got to embrace that. And I think if I embrace that, I'll enjoy the journey more.
Yep.
If I go, here are four interesting stories.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait to see
what happens. What you just said then is I know this is 5 episodes.
Mm.
So that's why I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
This is the first season, like The Power, throwing it out there. I enjoyed The Power. We all know I had a little John Leguizamo, Toni Collette orgasm every fucking 5 minutes in that. But it was hard because it's like, I don't know when this is going to actually come together. Right. Mm. Whereas with this, it's like, oh, I can do this for 5 episodes.
Yeah.
It is a lot of information. And I will say the beauty of a show like Waco, the original Waco series, was that we all knew what happened. Do you know what I mean? So it's this build to what happened. I don't actually know what happened after Waco.
No, I don't know where this is going.
Yeah. And I it feels like, and I might be completely wrong, this is just a vibe I'm getting, is that it's kind of a going into a moment in history that we should all know about. Do you know what I mean?
We'll see.
Happened post Waco, because Waco was such a moment in history, right? Especially in America, I'm guessing. It was like this real moment that I'm sure the aftermath of Waco was worth making a series about. But I actually don't know anything about what happened after the happenings of Waco.
No, me neither.
The siege. But the beauty of the original series, I think, was the casting. Was so incredible. The production value was insane. But it was this build to something I know is going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this, and I mean, I think this might suffer the same fate as, and strangely, because it's based on a true story, you know, but I think it might suffer the same fate as the Netflix one we just watched that nearly broke you.
Oh, God.
But like...
What was that called? I've blocked it out.
Like, what I would say is...
Bloodline.
If someone said, hey, we're going to do a story about... Like, they didn't make the first Waco, and they said, we're going to make a 5-part miniseries about all the stuff that happened after Waco and a bit about what happened before Waco, you would go, why wouldn't you just do Waco?
Yeah.
So, like, there is definitely, like, the reason for this existing is going to be the big question mark over it. But I agree. This is packed full of actors I like.
Yeah.
So just spending 5 hours enjoying actors I like doing stuff, doing some acting. Plus they've folded in Giovanni Ribisi and J. Cameron Smith, who I love. J. Cameron Smith from Nancy. Now she's wearing the Nancy wig.
Yep.
So J. Cameron Smith from Succession that we fell in love with in Nancy.
So many little moments of the people who have worked with John Leguizamo. Because, of course, this cast has all worked with him in the past. They all have the same career trajectory.
This is literally
a movie. This is a series of John Leguizamos. Cast of this is like they've all had the same career trajectory, every single one of them.
When they were doing the call sheet,
they were like, who
do we put at number 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 on the call sheet? Because this is all 3 on the call sheet.
They have all worked together. It would have been like a very, oh my God, how nice that we've all been here. We've all done this.
In some way,
we have all worked together. And that's incredible. Like, that made me excited. I loved that. I don't necessarily have any final thoughts about Waco the Aftermath, just that I'm a bit excited.
Oh, that's good. I have one final thought. Is it just because I do edit, like I'm in the editing room sometimes, or did you notice the ADR, John Leguizamo's ADR?
I didn't notice
that. For me, it was really obvious. I want you to go back. So there's like the end of the scene.
Mm.
The scene ends with like, him saying something like, I think, he goes to Johnny Legs, he's like, I think that something has been born out of Waco, thematically but not literally. Something has been born out of Waco, something that is an anger in America that is partly our fault. And then it's like a shot on John Leguizamo like, And you can tell that was the end of the scene, but then it goes back to a shot of Michael Shannon or Zod, and then John Leguizamo's head, and he's like, I think you're right. Hey, I'll put you in touch with the guy I know that's on the case with the neo-Nazis. Don't you worry about it. I'll put you in touch.
I didn't see that. I've got to rewatch
it. It's just something I pick up on.
No, I love that. I will immediately go back. As soon as I watch episode 2, I'll go back and watch
that. I think they did a good job of it, but to me, it was so obvious.
I would like to say, I do have a final thought. Yeah. So the original Waco series, the reveal of John Leguizamo was the most delicious thing. Easily still, to this day, our favourite John Leguizamo reveal in something, right? Wonderful. However, this was an excellent one. The creators of Waco really do John a service here because he's gotten these incredible, like, it's John. This one was simple, but it was like, oh, like a bullet. It was lift doors. It was elevator doors that opened and he's just standing there drinking a coffee.
Yeah, because like Michael Shannon's leaving. He's like, well, I'm out of here. Nothing else I'm going to get out of this.
Yeah.
Ding.
And it's John and he's covering half his face with a cup of coffee. And that door's open, it's John, and then he pulls the coffee cup away. It's like you know him when the door's open, but it's like a little, hey, bingo bango, it's John Leguizamo.
Bingo bango. You thought, if you didn't think John Leguizamo was back, he's back, baby.
If you missed in the opening credits and special guest, our favourite actor in the whole world, we're so lucky that he worked us into his schedule, John Leguizamo, if you missed all of that at the start, here he is. Surprise,
he's back.
4 Leguizamos from me.
4.5 Leguizamos because of the elevator open.
See, for me, it was 3.5 until that.
Yeah, for me, it's about the elevator open, it gets 4.5, and also because they wrote him into a scene that he's not relevant to this plot at all.
That's why
I thought he'd be in the case and
if
stuff.
He doesn't come back, do we keep doing this? No.
Well, according to the IMDb, he comes back.
Yeah.
So maybe let's watch an app check in. Maybe we won't do all 4. Maybe we smash through a few and then check in.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Every episode he's not in, we'll keep watching record an app.
That's good.
Unless we can't be bothered. If we come back and we just do episode 2 and he's not in it, you know that we've had a busy week.
That sounds good. What can Tom take us away with?
Something like Texas-y.
Well, I was about to say Japanese metalcore.
Okay. Yep. That one.
Tom, can you take us away with some Japanese metalcore? Thank you so much for listening, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Let us know what you think of Waco the Aftermath. We'd love to hear your opinions. We love you on the gram and we love you every week. I fucked it. I'm sorry. Bye, guys.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.